We turn to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. Appreciate the good worship service. Good singing, just beautiful, beautiful singing. What an honor it is to be able to come and worship together. Ruth chapter 1. We're going to pick up in the familiar story of Ruth. I look around here and everybody's read the book of Ruth, and so you know the story. So we're not going to take a lot of time going back and trying to separate things. Just know this. Naomi left her homeland with her husband and with her two sons. They went out to seek greener pastures. They left the people of God, the people they were supposed to be with, the people of God, and they went out into the world thinking that we'll do better. We'll go seek greener pastures. Now, Naomi loses her husband, and she loses her two sons. But in that process, she picks up two daughters-in-law. Now, you have here a story that has a very tragic start, but it has a triumphant ending. Most Hallmark movies that you ladies like to watch try to follow that same pattern. There's always some problem to start with, and in the end, everything works out happily ever after. Well, that's kind of the story of Ruth. It starts off just real rocky, tragic, but it ends up works out very beautiful in the end. Now, we're going to begin reading with verse 6. And this is Naomi, and she's about to go back to the promised land, go back with her people. Verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went out on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfast minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Don't cease reading with these verses tonight. You know, there must have been something wonderful about Naomi. You know, there's some people that have magnetic personalities. You're just around them and you're drawn to them. You may look and say, well, I wonder what it was about Naomi. I believe I know what it was. Naomi was a godly woman. Now, I do believe this about Naomi. She had gotten in a point in life where she's very, very discouraged. She even made a statement. She said that God has gone back from me. That God is not working with me. God is not blessing me the way that He once did. You know, she goes on, if you read on, you'll find where it said that I left out full, but I returned empty. She's acknowledging that I remember a time when I was close to God. I remember a time when God blessed me. But we made some choices in life, and it led us away from God. It led us away from the people of God. And God has dealt very bitterly with me. She even went on to say, when she went back into her homeland, she said, don't call me Naomi no more. Call me Mara. Because the Lord has dealt very bitterly with me. She understood it was me. I made a mistake. And because I did, I brought some things upon myself that I wish would not have been. I believe she would have said, if I could have to do all over again, I'd have never left my people. I'd have never left my homeland. I would have never went down to Moab. But she does. And I told you it's a very tragic story to start with, but it ends in a very beautiful way. Because of what happened, Ruth was able to come to know the Lord. So, Ruth made a life-changing choice. And I want us to focus on that tonight. If we can just bring the spotlight in on Ruth, and let's notice her. She made a life-changing choice. You think about a young woman that she's come to a fork in the road. She's come to a place where she's got to make a decision. I can go with Naomi, and I can go and I can be with her people, and I can serve her God, and I can be with her the rest of my life, or I can return it. And notice, she's not just leaving just a bum life. She's got a home to return back to. Naomi said, go back to your husband's home. She's got a home she could go back to. And she said, go back to your mother's house. Her mother is living. And she said, go back to your mother's house. Go back with your people that you grew up with, the people that you know. Go back to those friends and acquaintances that you have, and go back to the gods you've been serving. Of course, I kind of questioned that statement that Naomi would make to her. But again, Naomi's discouraged. She's down. Go back. But here you have Ruth, and she's at a fork in the road. Which decision am I going to make? Which way am I going to go? What am I going to do? And so, what an influence a godly mother-in-law had upon this young girl. Ruth looked at her people, her mother's house, the home she's leaving, and she weighs that against the influence of this godly woman, and she says, I think I'm going to take that. I'm going to give up my husband's home. I'm going to give up being with my family. I'm going to give up all the gods that I grew up with, because I see something in this woman that outweighs everything else. Life's full of choices. The longer we live, the more choices we have to make. What was it about her influence, I wonder? You know, I believe it was more than just she was a likable person. We don't give up whole entire lives because of likable people. There has to be something profound. And I believe that even though Naomi was a woman that was probably discouraged, I believe she carried out her life day after day seeking the will of God. I believe she was a godly woman. That's my belief. That's what I believe. I want you to understand it. That's what I believe. Because she had such an influence on her. And you say, well, you know, she was not where she needed to be with the Lord and all that, Brother Brad. That's evident. But listen, none of us are perfect. None of us have a completely clean slate, do we? We all make mistakes. Yes, she left her homeland. She had to answer dearly for that mistake that she made. But she was still a godly woman, and it's evident, especially throughout the remainder of her life, as you would read. So, that's what it is about her. Naomi's God was a choice. Ruth didn't just say, I want to be like you, Naomi. She said, I'm going to be with you the rest of my life. And not only that, your God is going to be my God. She made a choice that I'm going to trust God. Over all the gods I grew up with, I'm going to trust God. There's something different about your God than all my gods put together. There's something different about that. So I'm trusting your God. She goes further. She says, your people. I believe Naomi probably spoke often about her homeland, about the way they did things different, the way that they were separate, the way that they had served the Lord and how God blessed them. That in hearing that, she said, I tell you what, your people are going to be my people. I'm going to go make them my people. I want to be around God's people over my childhood friends or acquaintances or all the people that I've known. Tonight, a little bit difficult thought that I've got on my mind, and it's kind of hard to get it across. So you pray for me as I move along. But salvation is something that is extremely simple. We talk about the simplicity of salvation. It is extremely simple in and of itself. And I know it's through Christ. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But the act of being saved, to just by grace through faith to surrender and trust Jesus, a child, as God would deal with their heart and convict them of their sins, a child with childlike faith can turn and be saved. I know, I'm one of them. I was one of them. I was a child that was saved very early in life. Doesn't take an intellectual person to be saved. It doesn't take a rich person or someone that's got, you know, a whole lineup of good works that they've tried to accomplish through their life, or someone that, you know, was able to keep themselves from all manner of sin throughout their life. Anyone can be saved. There's simplicity in salvation. However, often salvation is weighed against some heavy things. And I will try to explain that. So be patient with me as I try to explain that. There was a lady that I come to know. She was 70 years old when I met her. Her and her husband, they come to where I pastored. And she, the moment you met her, you realize you're not from around here, are you? She was actually from Canada, way up in northern Canada. And she was a devout Catholic. And everything about her was different. I mean, just different ways. She had little statues of Mary that she prayed to. And I mean, when I say devout, I've never seen anybody more devout than what she was. She was devout. And her husband was a drunk. And the first time I met them, they walked in, I could smell alcohol on them. And she came to me and she said, I'm a devout Catholic. Do you mind if I come to your church? I said, no, ma'am. You come on any time. She said, my husband is a drunk. Is he welcome? I said, you tell him to come on. If he'll come with you, tell him to come on. And it wasn't long, she came and the Lord began to convict her heart. And she didn't even know really what she was dealing with. She just knew every time she heard the message preached, the Lord was dealing with her heart. And she was studying the best she could, and she said, you know what? We can't study our Bibles. We have a priest that tells us what's in here and tells us what to believe. I said, well, you just keep right on studying. We don't make them requirements. You just keep on studying it. You keep on hearing the Word and, you know, praying. And she kept right on. But long she came to me, she said, Brother Brad, I know with all my heart I need to be saved. I said, what do you feel like's hindering you? She said, if I trust Jesus, and I know that's what I need to do, she said, it means that I'm going to have to admit that my family went to hell. That's her words, not mine. That's her words. She said, if they believed what they taught me, then that is not true. She said, so if I trust Jesus, that means I'm not going to see them anymore. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of weight in that. There's a lot of weight. People make decisions all the time. And we say, well, it's so simple. It was simple for me. I tell you what, she was weighing it up against something that really had not crossed my mind before. I just encourage her to get off by herself with the Lord and talk to the Lord. What long she got saved? I have never seen a happier woman in all of my life. Never. I tell you, she realized what she got in Jesus. I've never seen a happier woman than that. Oh. What long her husband comes to me and said, Brad, I gave up drinking. He'd been drinking for 40 years. 40 years. Every day for breakfast, he had alcohol. When he went to bed, he had alcohol all his life. 40 years of it anyway. He said, I gave it up. That went on for several months. He got saved. Lord saved him too. It's amazing, though, what people are up against and what they're weighing their eternity against. To believe Jesus for that dear woman meant I've got to acknowledge some things that I don't want to have to acknowledge. I didn't tell her to acknowledge those things. She realized that. Now, I'm going to tell you something. She didn't regret it. She didn't regret trusting Jesus. Happiest woman I've ever met, and I mean that with all sincerity. Did Ruth regret the choice she made to follow Naomi, to make her God, that I'm going to accept God. I'm going to accept your God. I'm going to accept Him. You think she regretted that? I don't think there's ever a day she regretted that. She probably got homesick, no doubt. I don't know. She may have went home and visited from time to time. I don't know. But that dear lady, Ruth, trusted in the Lord, and it changed her life. It was a decision she made that altered her life forever. And I believe with all my heart, she was glad she made it. I'm going to tell you something. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Amen. It'll be worth anything we have to give up. It'll be worth any hard decision we ever have to make. So, lost family, you think about people making statements about, I'm going to have a reunion with my family in hell. It's like, there's a story in the Bible about a man who lifts his eyes in hell. And he wanted to send word back, tell my family, do not come into this place. Don't come here. There's not going to be a glad reunion day in hell. Glad reunion day in heaven, no doubt. I tell you what, there's nothing that should prevent us from trusting Jesus. If you're here and you're lost, nothing should prevent you. Let me go a little bit further. Us that are saved, there's nothing that should ever prevent us from surrendering fully to the Lord and following after Him. No matter who it is, or what kind of influence they may have on us, nothing should hinder us. We shouldn't allow anything to hinder us from following after the Lord. Look at Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all the substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now, the Bible is full of those who made choices to trust the Lord, even though it meant leaving everything that they had ever known. The Bible lets us know here, Brother Joey, that Abraham was 75 years old. I'm not 75 years old. Not yet. But I still see that the years that I've had, I've gotten more and more set in my ways. I've gotten more and more just kind of put down roots and settled. And I can't imagine being 75 years old. They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. 75 years old, I believe Abraham's probably, or Abram at this time, I believe he's probably pretty set in his ways, and he probably had some things established, and all of a sudden God says, get up out of thy country and thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a place that you don't know anything about. I'm going to show you the place. And Abraham takes that God has told him. The burden is on his heart. God has now burdened Abraham. Leave your country. Leave your people. Leave your father's house. Leave everything that you've ever known and go to a place you don't even know anything about. And he weighs that. All this stuff, all these memories, he weighs it up against God said. He made a choice. I'm going to do what God said. That's powerful. That's faith. No wonder Abraham was known as the father of faith. That's faith. Peter and Andrew was fishing. They were washing their nets. And Jesus walks up and he says, follow me. And the Bible says they left their nets and they followed him. Well, how much it cost by nets back in that day? I bet it wasn't as easy for them to just run down to the local Walmart and get some fishing nets as it might be for some of us to go get something. I wonder who took care of the boat. They just dropped it. So, well, their daddy probably took care of it. Their father probably took care of it. Probably did. But we don't know, do we? I ask you this, does it matter? If it sat right there in the harbor and rotted, does it matter? Because what they had been called to do was more important than anything they'd ever done in their life. Follow the Lord and leave it all behind. The Lord was not cruel to them. The Lord didn't ask more out of them than he should have asked. He simply said, come follow me. Lay it all down. Come follow me. And they did. I don't think they regretted. There's probably times they got their feelings hurt. You know, we all get discouraged from time to time. I know there's a time when Peter said, I go fishing, and they said, we go with you. They got discouraged. They got looking at that old life, and they said, I'm going to go back to that old life. And the Lord come and tuned them up a little bit. But I don't believe they regretted following the Lord. Take two thieves, one hanging on one side of the Lord, one on the other. One of them made a choice. I'm going to trust Jesus. The other one didn't. Which one of them you think's happy? Which one of them made the right choice? There's one of them. At the moment he closed his eyes, he realized, boy, I made the right decision. He was in the paradise with the Lord. But the other one. Been 2,000 years of regret over the decision he made, I'm sure. At times, there's people that sit on church benches and the Lord convicts them in their heart. Maybe they're lost and the Lord convicts them to trust Jesus. Or maybe they're saved and the Lord is convicting them to just lay it all down and follow after me. If not real careful, there'll be some excuse right there. Some excuse. there was a young couple dating. Young lady and young man. She had her brand new boyfriend. They come in and sit down in church. And she'd always went to church. This boy, he didn't go to church, but he's the new boyfriend. And so they come in and sit down in the church. And that night, the Lord began to convict her heart and showed her she was lost. And she looked at that boyfriend and she thought, I wonder what he'll think. So even though the Lord was dealing with her heart, she didn't trust the Lord. She felt like maybe I need to walk down there and talk to the preacher. And she said, I can't do that because this boy is here. She went on after that and she struggled for a little while. She did get saved. There's a happy ending to it. She got saved later on. But what if that was her opportunity? Well, she didn't have an opportunity. She would have let that young boy hinder her. What if she got saved that night? It might have been that young boy. The Lord might have been dealing with him too. He might have been thinking the same thing. He might have been thinking, I can't make any move because of this girl that's sitting here. Don't let anything get in your way from the life that God has prepared for you. Family ties are very strong. They can be. Don't miss out on your blessings because of somebody else. There's people that sit in church houses and they look around and the Lord convicting their heart and they look around at all the things that church members are doing wrong. And they think about those hypocrites. I tell you what, I know Lord dealing with my heart and I need to be saved, but that's a hypocrite sitting right there. And look at the people that's in this church. I know them personally. This person over here does this and this person over there does that. If you're looking for a perfect place full of perfect people, you come to the wrong place. We go to church because we need to hear the truth so we can be better people. So we can draw closer to the Lord. There's still a need for Christian people to repent of things that they've done. So don't get your eye on somebody else and think, well, I can't do what God's put on my heart to do because of them. Ruth met a godly man. She had a child. She raised up, no doubt, in a godly home. That child had a godly mother-in-law. Her life was blessed. Even at the very beginning, she left a place where they were in trouble. And she walks up on God's people, and the moment she come in the presence of God's people, they begin to look and said, who is this lady here? Wasn't long, somebody said, I'm going to try to be a blessing to her. Told his men, just drop some sacks of corn for her, long boy. She's out here trying. She's trying to take care of her mother-in-law. She's in a strange land. Let's show her who God's people really are. Let's show them. I have found that that's the way God's people usually are. They want to show people love. I know this church, you want to show people love. She found out following the Lord is the best decision she ever could make. If you're hearing you're lost, have you trusted Jesus? Will you trust Jesus? Will you just give up and trust the Lord? Be saved. Don't let anything get in your way. If you're saved, if the Lord's been knocking on your heart's door lately, letting you know you need to do something, you need to follow after Him, don't let something get in your way. Don't let somebody get in your way. Look to the Lord. Don't look to the right or to the left. You look to Him. Last person.